Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here today, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Settling into the new location. It's a fantastic time here. We're going to have some fun on the program today. It's draft day. It's NBA draft day. You got to be kind of intrigued by this, Angel, because, you know, you'll be paying attention to see where your boy goes, Brandon Miller. Probably just going to go to Charlotte, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, I want to be excited, but like it feels like we know the first 10 picks already, so yeah. What's the point?
Yeah, I was looking.
I don't like this.
I was looking at mock drafts this morning, and everybody that I'm, like CBS, ESPN, it's all like the top 10 are the exact same. Different hosts, different guys all have the same mock draft.
Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I mean,
what are we doing? NBA, come on.
Locally, yeah, man. I mean, there's no, like NFL, there was a lot, there's always debate. Even when we know
like,
who's going to go in the
pick
first.
Is like, yeah, it's like maybe the
still,
top two, but
yeah,
there's 30 other picks that you have no idea.
Yeah, this is like you're
we
right.
We found out
it's
the number 10. One pick 2 months ago.
It's like a lot of these guys have them to a science now. It's like to 18 are all the same, 19, all the same. I just, you know, the NBA draft, I'll watch it. The Nuggets now have a first round pick, so there's kind of some interest there. I mean, I don't get too excited about some of these names because, you know, I mean, you just never know.
I think as a Nuggets fan, you're excited just because of the trust that you have in this coaching staff to develop these young guys.
Right.
With what you've seen with Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, even some of the guys we haven't seen, like, you know, Peyton Watson and Zeke Nnaji.
Yeah. Well, the Nuggets traded the 2024 first round pick that they recently got from OKC and the 40th pick to Indiana in exchange for number 29 and 32 in the draft tonight. So making moves, they must like somebody that they feel is a late first rounder, maybe early second rounder. Here's who they have worked out recently. On Tuesday, the Nuggets worked out Trayce Jackson-Davis out of Indiana, Andre Jackson out of Connecticut, Arkansas's Jordan Walsh, Missouri's Kobe Brown, and Gonzaga's Drew Timmy, as well as Tyree Appleby out of Wake Forest. So there's some names. Drew Timmy's intriguing because he's like he's one of the more popular college basketball players because he was there for like 75 seasons. I don't know. Would that name get you excited if you heard that with the 29th pick? The Denver Nuggets select Drew Timmy out of Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Does that do it for you?
Yeah. I mean, talented player, good story. You play at a school like Gonzaga, which is pretty much all basketball there. So you get a guy that's a proven winner at that level. We see how even winning in the tournament has, you know, it pays off in the NBA with a guy like Christian Brown who has seen so much success that he was able to translate that quickly.
Yeah. No, I would be curious. I think the knock on him would be, well, he's played a long time already. There's a lot of tread on the. There's a lot of tread
going
on the tires.
Team. You can't just walk in here and think it's going to be cool.
Yeah,
getting to work.
No, he's a team kind of player. Good passer, smart player. That's how he survived at Gonzaga and played at a high level because he was just a smart dude. Very creative with his big man moves. So I would be, yeah, that would sure.
Now I want Drew Timmy. Come on.
Now I kind of want Drew Timmy.
Not telling me anything bad about this kid.
Jaime Jaquez, I've heard he would be an interesting one for the Nuggets. My boy Steve was texting and saying he thinks that the Nuggets are looking at him. I don't know if he's worked out for the Nuggets. That doesn't mean everything.
Who's that?
Jaime, is it Jaquez out of UCLA? He was a senior. It's another older player. But my boy Steve texting in from Ram Nation says, I think the Nuggets are really interested in him. I don't know if they've worked him out. I know I've seen him play.
Yeah,
I always forget.
Yeah, he's got the headband.
Yeah, he's got a headband. Kind of a beardish thing going on. A little interesting facial hair. I don't know. It's the draft, dude. You just don't know. And the Nuggets, you're right. They have given you a lot of reasons to think that they're going to be a pretty good team. As far as drafting guys and figuring out every single year how we're going to stay relevant, stay in the playoff mix, and do all that. So I do think that it's that part of it's interesting because no matter who they end up getting, I'm going to just trust. We're at that point now, right, where you trust the organization, where whoever they get, whoever they announce tonight, will probably be somebody that could work into the mix in the next season or two.
Yeah, just with the way this coaching staff and the scouting department works together, developing these young guys. And, you know, I think we can almost squash the narrative that Michael Malone doesn't like rookies or doesn't like young players.
Yeah, because of what happened with Christian. And Bones was out of necessity, had to play his rookie year because Jamal being out.
He did what he needed to do for that 1 year. The second year with Bones, obviously there was going to be different because of the guys coming back.
Yeah, and Christian Brown just kept earning. I don't know if we can we really squash the narrative?
I don't, like, I'm saying if you play like a guy like Christian Brown did when he didn't have a lot of minutes early on, he played his heart out every time he was out there, and that picks up with Malone. He sees, okay, you're giving me hustle plays on defense, you're getting me rebounds. I like that, and that's going to get you more time.
Yes.
And if you can find a young guy that can see that, understand it, and buy into this culture, he can hit the ground running with this team.
I think that's the best way to put it. Michael Malone doesn't trust young players unless they do the other things. Christian Brown has made his rookie year by doing the other things. Playing great defense, getting offensive rebounds, hustle plays. That's when a guy like Michael Malone will look at. He struggled playing Michael Porter Jr. early on because Porter wasn't doing the other things. He was lost on defense. He wasn't really getting in there and doing those gritty plays. Christian Brown did. So if you get a guy that comes in that's just a worker, they're going to earn his trust to play some meaningful minutes as a rookie. But if you come in and you're just an offensive player and you're just thinking about the shot, that's not going to get you, unless you're just really good and you're not going to find somebody like that right off the bat and where the Nuggets are drafting. So I'm interested, and especially interested now that they do have a first round pick. Quickly here, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by our good friends over at FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFK. The good for me is I like the fact that the Nuggets aren't just sitting back saying, yeah, we want a title. We'll draft where we draft. Yeah, let's get a little aggressive. Let's make some moves. You had the 2 second rounders and then the first rounder for next year. Well, you're packaging that up, moving around. You got a spot in the first round and the early second round. So I like the fact that the Nuggets are getting somewhat aggressive in this, and that's a good story for me. The bad, I'm gonna go with it is what it is. Bruce Brown declined his option. We didn't have a show yesterday, but we're back here talking about Bruce Brown. I didn't get that news out to everybody as we wanted to in real time. I knew it was coming. That doesn't necessarily mean he's done with the Nuggets. I think the guys outlined it yesterday and today on Good Morning NoCo what that could mean. And I've got my own thoughts on that. I don't think it's as easy as, oh, if you want to win a title, just, you know, but your market and your money and all that, this is your career. Do you want to be known as a guy that played for kind of a minimum type contract and won a couple of titles? Or do you want to be a guy that is a starter in the league and you're making $14 million for the next 5 years? That could set you up for life. Where do you want to go?
What fan base loves me more?
That and also the money. And mainly the money.
Money, everything.
Money is everything. If it were like, stay in Denver, and you could go to Utah for $10 million, stay in Denver for $8.5 million, okay, duh, that's easy. But we're talking stay in Denver for $8 million, and then, or go to Utah or somewhere and get a five-year deal, $13, $14, $15 million a year.
Then you could never win again.
You won't win again.
What if Jokic buys him a horse?
No, well, that's the thing we've talked about, is how do you get sneaky here? Well, the other thing, too, is he can get endorsement deals. He can do that legally. Hook him up.
Who wouldn't want to sign him to a commercial deal or something?
I would think so.
Would you do it?
Would we do it? How much would it cost? We ain't going to make up $5 million a year.
We have 2%.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Every other paycheck.
It's worth reaching out. Bruce, want to do a show with us? The Bruce Brown Show? That'll get it. That'll keep you here. And the ugly is the Rockies have lost 8 in a row.
What?
Yeah, 8 in a row.
Yikes.
Oh, man. And I want to spend some time talking about this today. Just about, like, everybody says Dick Monfort just needs to sell a team. Let me ask you. You're making money. Dick Monfort's making money off of the Rockies. Would you sell the team, even though you suck?
Am I a owner that likes sports or not?
You like sports. He's a fan.
I like sports.
Yeah.
I would sell the team.
You would? Even though you're making money?
Yeah. I mean, I would make sure I would still be financially stable. I would make sure I still have a share of the team, but not the majority owner.
Not making the decisions?
No, but if I see a fan base like the Rockies, I see how passionate these fans are, and, you know, yeah, they're still going to games. Yeah, they're still buying beer and all that. But just imagine how many more could come and how many more much more money you could make if the team was good.
It's not like Dick Monfort wakes up in the morning and goes, how can I make the Rockies worse today?
No, but
that's not happening.
He wakes up, checks his bank account. Oh, we're still getting money in.
Still bringing it in.
Just go back to bed.
Yeah, just don't worry about it.
5 more minutes.
Not going to stress. He's not going to sell the team. The other reason, he's not going to sell it because he wants it in his family. He wants just like Pat Bowlen at one point maybe wanted, but then obviously friction and stuff like that. It's tough. It's tough to just say, hey, we're going to keep this in the Monfort business or Monfort name. Now you got to deal with different, I don't even know, how many kids does Dick Monfort have? He wants to keep the team in his in that name, in his family for years. He wants to do that. He has 3 kids. That could be complicated. One might want more control than the other down the road. That's kind of where Pat Bowlen was seeing the writing on the wall
with
his situation.
That's when you let the siblings handle that.
Oh, I could tell you a story. So I'm a farm kid, and our farm, you know, we family stuff going on now. We're trying to figure out how to parcel it out if we want to keep running it or if we want to. It ain't fun. Nope. It ain't fun dealing with. You love your siblings. The older you get, you love them, but it's more like, let's not do business together.
Oh, and the farm's not worth billions of dollars.
I don't think so.
Maybe to you, but I don't know.
But it's worth something. I'll tell you, it's worth something. And so when you start bringing money in and talking about that, yeah, it gets complicated. But nonetheless, Dick Monfort wants to keep this team in his family's name. So if you're banking on him selling the team, it's not going to happen. He bought the team, and he's trying to establish whether or not he can actually make a good team out of this, or if it's just a business transaction every single year. That's the big thing with him. And that's what's frustrating. Especially when year after year you see the losses stack up and nothing is being done to really fix the situation. Are you just going to rebuild? Or are you going to go sign Chris Bryant? Are you going to go sign big name guys here? Pay Ryan McMahon, maybe when he wasn't quite worth that much?
Well, I think the fans would just be happy with any of those options. Just tell us something.
Yeah.
Are you rebuilding? Are you trying to buy players? Are you just going to sit there and do nothing? Are we playing money ball? What are we going to do?
What kind of ball is he playing? I don't know. Because he doesn't like what the Padres are doing.
No.
They're spending money and signing players that are good all the time. He doesn't really like what other teams are doing where they're really relying on their farm system.
Well, the Padres aren't much better.
Well,
the Padres are
not very good right now. I get that. But they were last year, kind of. And then they made all those moves at the trade deadline, and it didn't really work out. But at least they're doing something. The Rockies will just go, hey, we're going to bring, we got these guys coming up, and then we're just going to go out and give Chris Bryant a massive contract. Okay, what does that do? Because Nolan Arenado, last time, when he was with the Rockies, he was considered the best third baseman in baseball. He was on his way to perhaps being the best third baseman in history. But what did you get from it? That's why the idea of trading him wasn't like the end of the world to me, because it didn't, you know, winning a World Series with a really good third baseman and a darn good hitter. You got to have good pitchers. You got to have prospects. And then when the Rockies do get prospects, it's, you know, they're
in
pinstripes.
Play.
They're playing for the Yankees. Or they don't play. Whatever. But yeah, yesterday, Rockies had, what, 3 solo home runs? And it was 3-0. Just like that. Nope, Cincinnati. They're red hot right now.
I turned this game on at 3-3, thinking, okay,
here we go, Rocks. Let's just get
one and 2-run home run.
Yep. And they're using the bullpen to pitch yesterday. I mean, I don't even know what the Rockies are doing anymore.
I don't even know their names.
Oh, I don't know who they are. I know who this person is, though. We've got an awesome guest coming in studio today, superstar Ruby Kaser. She's got some cool things going, too, on the media side of things. So she's doing it all with CSU Volleyball, but also in the world of journalism, working with the Northern Colorado Owls. So we're going to bring her in. I thought Kevin was going to be on today, so I was going to have her actually just conduct the interview. Have her interview him for a change, but he's not. He's out of town, apparently. Vacation? What?
What is that?
There's no off-season. There's no off-season for Ruby out there.
We need to know about the football depth chart, Kevin.
Yeah, we need to know the starting lineup. We need to know those things. So we're going to talk to Ruby here in just a minute. 21 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-six minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me in studio, CSU volleyball player Ruby Kaser. Ruby, thank you so much. Oh, wow. Look at that. It's like an 80s sitcom in here sometimes.
Yeah.
With the live studio audience. It's fantastic.
I love it. Love the energy.
How are you doing? We've been trying to get this together to have you come in studio for a while now, but pumped to have you here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Found your way to Greeley, okay?
Yes, I made it.
It's kind of a journey. And it's our first, like, this is cool. You're my first student athlete to sit in the new studios here.
Yeah, it looks great in here. It's feeling good, feeling honored to be the first
clean,
one.
Clean, the air's nice. We're not breathing in asbestos anymore. That's exciting. All those things are just encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I love talking. Obviously, I want to talk volleyball with you guys. You got some changes coming up with mm-hmm. the new head coach position, so we'll get into some of that. But I'm just impressed with your work, what you're doing, because you're interested in this field, the journalism and radio and broadcast and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm studying journalism at CSU and kind of, like I said, like moving into the broadcasting part of it. But I've kind of gotten to like try a bunch of different things, which has been really cool, and kind of like discover what I like in the field. And I like a lot of it. So it's been fun to like mix it up. But
well, a mutual friend of ours with Ent Credit Union, Fred, was like just bragging you up. And I, of course, knew your name and everything and knew what kind of volleyball player you were and everything. But he's like, she's got it. She's got it. She's very, you're personable out there. So I reached out, and here we are.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Shout out, Fred. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred. That's great. And I love some of the stuff you're doing with the Owls, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually just started last week doing, like, live stuff, but I'm doing the in-game hosting with them, which has been really fun. I love baseball, so just sitting in the sun, watching baseball. And it's been fun seeing some CSU fans out there, too. It's always fun when people recognize me and that kind of thing.
But is it growing? What's it like out there? I haven't been to a game yet.
Yeah, it's
What's
definitely
the atmosphere like?
It was packed when I was there, which was really nice. And I was there for Father's Day, which was fun. Of course, lots of dads and little kids. But the environment's really cool. And so they're in a temporary stadium right now before the big one gets finished being built. But it was full, and they have the outfield kind of stands on the side that were kind of full too, which it was fun.
It seems like it's going to be something that becomes a really big thing throughout Northern Colorado.
Yeah, they've showed me the layout of the whole thing, and it's really impressive. They have the baseball and like the minor league soccer team too, the Hailstorm. I've worked with them a little bit too, but they're building dorms, hotels, like turf fields. They have the whole dome out there, and it's going to be like a whole, I think the idea is for people to come in when they're doing travel big tournaments, and they can stay there, and they're doing like a whole shopping center, and so everything will be there, which is really nice.
What's it like for you? Because you're playing at a high level for a very well-respected volleyball club in Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
But then to also take that hat off, put a different hat on, and then be the media person.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool because I can also relate to the athletes. Like, I know what it's like to be interviewed. I know what it's like to be asked to, like, do stuff after practice and that sort of thing. And I'm kind of their age, which helps, too, so we can kind of, like, joke around or whatever. And I'm like, who's going to be on Ruby's Tuesdays this week? Like, who's going to hop in? And that sort of thing. So I think it's been cool to do that, but then also going to the games and like having people recognize me and say, oh, like you play for CSU volleyball, and little kids are running up to me and giving me hugs. And the last Owls game I was at was a girl from my camp like 2 weeks before at CSU came up and was like, Ruby, I'm here. And
that is awesome.
Yeah. So it's really helped me like grow my community, which I think is cool.
Ruby Kayser is joining us, plays for Colorado State on the volleyball side of things, a defensive specialist. And Kevin Lytle's normally on during this segment, so he's probably interviewed you before, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to him a few times, and he's cool because I host at the women's and men's basketball games, too, and so we're always kind of like sitting by each other and joking with each other, but yeah, he's awesome.
I was hopeful that he would be on today, so you could... I was just going to turn over the interview, and you take it from here, and you grill him for once, right?
I know.
Rather than him throwing out all these crazy questions for you.
Yeah, turn the tables on him, see how it feels.
talk to us about your new head coach. This is going to be an interesting change for you guys. Obviously, we know how good Tom was. Coach Hilbert was is legendary and announced his retirement several months back. But change is coming up for you guys.
Yeah, I think like on the player side, we have no doubt that Emily will be able to do a great job. She's been my position coach for the last 3 years, so I know her pretty well, and I've grown so much with her as my coach. And she has a great balance of being really competitive and expecting a lot of us, but then also like supporting us through it, which is really cool. And she's helped me with a lot of my outside of volleyball stuff too. And so I know when she was applying for the job, we were all kind of rooting for her, like hoping she would get in there, stick with
sure.
her. And she's made the right changes, but also stuck with the same plan that we've had all along. So
yeah, well, and it's interesting because I was really rooting for her because I watched her play high school. I mean, I watched her play in high school. I think she probably graduated a year after, a year before me, whatever. But obviously from Swink, Colorado, we would be, you know, getting ready to play football or whatever, and we'd be in the gym watching volleyball until we had to go dress out. And we would just... She was amazing.
She's
astonishing.
A beast. Yeah. I wish I could have seen her play high school volleyball or college volleyball, but yeah, she's a total beast. I have no doubt it was something to see. But
well, and with her being an assistant, of course, under Hilbert, that's got to be a nice transition because, yeah, she's probably going to bring a lot of new things to the table, but she's still, like you said, keeping with that philosophy that Coach Hilbert had for so long.
Yeah, it's nice. And Tom did a really good job of like involving the community and bringing people in and getting fans there. And I think that's something she's really stuck with, which I think is really cool. And so the whiteout game and those sort of things, and we'll be passing out flyers all summer like Tom had us do, and those sort of things she's really stuck with. And then it's also fun to kind of like switch it up a little bit, and I'm going into my senior season and doing different drills that we haven't really done before, and she's brought in some great assistants, and so keeping consistency but also kind of a fresh perspective too has been nice.
You guys have just always been, you're always good every single year, and we talk about the volleyball scene, and that's awesome that you're getting, you know, little kids come up to you, and see, but we see volleyball is a hotbed around here. I mean, the high school scene, obviously what you guys do, we know UNC has a good volleyball team as well. It's amazing how year in and year out, volleyball is one of the big sports in this area.
Yeah, I think that's a big reason why a lot of us come here too, because it has that special aspect of you can get 8,000 fans to a CSU volleyball game, which a lot of Power 5 schools can't do. And so you come to Fort Collins where the community like really, really appreciates volleyball, and you're going out to restaurants and little girls are asking to take pictures with you, and you're not even like dressed in CSU stuff. And that kind of stuff is really special. And I think that's why we get such a good following, is because we have that support. And so we're able to bring in big teams and they want to play in Moby because we have such a big community here.
Do you see yourself after it's all said and done? Because you're senior, right? So
yeah. Yeah. I have the COVID year too, so I'm a fourth year, but I have 2 years of eligibility left. I'm not quite sure what I'll do with it yet, but yeah.
So for sure, obviously coming up,
yes.
And then you'll kind of decide what you're going to do with that. I'm still confused. I don't know who's a senior, who's a COVID senior or whatever.
I'm confused too. I don't even know. I don't think any of us really know.
So what do you think of the community? Like, is this a place where after your volleyball career is done, you could see yourself like putting down roots and sticking around?
I love Colorado. I'm from Oregon originally, yep. And I love Colorado. I've loved Fort Collins. I would really like to stay here if I can, and kind of I really like the area, and I have built a really strong community with like in athletics, but also in Fort Collins and beyond Fort Collins, and I do really like it. And that was a big reason why I came here. It was one of the biggest reasons, was to be in a place where I knew that I could build a community around me. But
well, it probably feels a lot like Oregon the last couple of weeks with
I know.
All this rain, right?
I know. It's weird because I went home to Oregon and it was sunny in Oregon, which it's never sunny in May in Oregon. And then I came back here and it was raining. And I'm like, well, this isn't how it's supposed to be.
So do you like, because I'm one of those people, I love cloudy days. I love the rain. I love all that stuff. You growing up in that.
It gets old. When it's 6 months out of the year, you won't like cloudy days anymore.
Colorado's kind of perfect because it gives you a sample of that once in a while, but then it's really sunny
most
of the time.
Yeah, I like the sunshine. I'll take the sunshine. sunshine any day. I'll take a blizzard with sunshine over the rainy day.
Are you doing any NIL stuff?
Yeah, I've done some stuff with Journey Payroll. That's kind of my big one. They're great. They have done a great job. Isaiah Stevens and I are kind of doing that one together. I've been able to do some private lessons in camps and use my name, image, and likeness. And then a lot of like little ones, like I've had stuff around town with like food places and that kind of stuff. So trying to build on it. But I think like the big one has been the private lessons has been huge for me because we weren't allowed to do that before.
Wow.
And now I can kind of market myself and I've got a good chunk of people. And so that's been a really easy way to make money that I don't think enough athletes are tapping into.
What I like about what you're doing on all that, because when all this started to come out, I said it. I love the idea of NIL. Obviously, you look around nationally, it's like maybe it's getting abused a little bit. But what I like about your story is you're going out putting the work in. You know, a lot of these guys are like, hey, we're talking about the EA Sports thing with the college basketball game. It's like mm-hmm. or football game. A lot of these guys and gals are just like, hey, pay us whatever. It's our name. And that's it.
Yep.
You're actually going out, knocking on doors, getting involved with people, going up, shaking hands. And then you're putting the work out there in your social media. That's what I love. That's where I think NIL could be so powerful.
Yeah, I think I have done a good job, especially like I've kind of used my position in volleyball, but also my position in doing all of my broadcasting stuff. And people see me at games and not just at CSU, but other places. I've done the Eagles. I've now done the Owls and all these different things. And I'm kind of in your face. Like you can't not see me anymore. And so it's been a nice way to kind of build my own brand. But then also I'm not afraid. I'm never afraid to like go into someone's Instagram and be like, hey, can I come shadow you today? Hey, can we talk about this? Or like, hey, would you want to meet about NIL? And I think like the biggest part, especially for smaller schools, it's going to be like, how do you take it beyond social media? Like, yeah. How do you, and I think also like another thing I'm really passionate about is community service. So it's like, how do you partner with like these groups and bring it together, you know, bring in the athletes and bring in the Boys and Girls Club or like the Women's Society and those kind of things.
But, yeah, because you have some unique things going on today. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a group of athletes through SAC, which is the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. And we're going out and playing dodgeball with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club, which is super special to me. I worked at the Boys and Girls Club last summer, and so I know how impactful it is. But it's pretty cool. We got a good group going out.
That's awesome. And that's the kind of stuff where, again, at its core, I said this NIL stuff could be great because you guys are getting what you're doing right now. You're getting so much life experience. Yes, you get to still play volleyball and you love that. And you get the college experience, too. But you're dipping your toes into that. You probably more so than anybody that I've talked to. And by the time you're done, you're going to have options with your career. You're going to know how to deal with taxes and things like that. And a lot of I didn't when I was in college. I mean, you're just there in that life being a student.
Mm-hmm.
What you're learning and doing now is going to be so beneficial for you down the road.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing with like the culture of our program, too. It was a big thing that Tom would talk about and Emily talks about. But like, you'll get out what you put in. And that's not just on the court. It's like I've put a lot in outside of volleyball. And so I use CSU volleyball to kind of build my own brand when it comes to like career stuff and after college and that sort of thing. And so you can really tap into being a student athlete because people want to know more. That's like it's something interesting about you. And so people want to hire you. People want to get to know you and people want to interview you and those kind of things. And so if you really tap into it, you can build something that will last for a long time.
How do coaches feel about it? You said it, the coaches are talking to you, but there's coaches I'll talk to, not on the air necessarily, but there's coaches that'll be like, yeah, I'm not really into it. I wish they weren't into it, but I understand. There's other coaches that really seem to value it, and they think hey, that's a tool we can use, and it's good for the athletes. How does your coaches feel about all this?
I think our coaches, which it's kind of a unique situation right now because Emily's our head coach, but then now Tom is working with the Green and Gold Guard, which is the NIL collective, to kind of help organize deals because with how the laws are right now, which I know it's changing, but coaches aren't really supposed to be organizing deals for players. And so Tom has a really unique job right now where he was our coach and he knows us all really well, but now he's working on the NIL front after being retired. So he can kind of, it's kind of like a hack in the system almost where it's like he's not our coach anymore, but he just was like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And he can kind of do that for us. And I think Emily and Tom both know like we're in a really unique position with that community in Fort Collins where we have a really big booster group. We have people who want to give money to the volleyball players. And so they know that we're in a special spot where we can really tap into it as like a women's program where a lot of these bigger schools where they have the huge football programs and huge basketball programs, they don't care about women's volleyball as much. Like it's like just one of those things where they kind of get pushed to the side where we really have the chance to use that as a tool because we do have people who care a lot about women's volleyball here.
No question about it. And again, I think that trickles down even to as we talked about in the high school ranks too. It's such a fun atmosphere at these volleyball games, and you guys are leading that each and every year. Can you stick around for a little bit longer?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, 39 minutes after the hour, we've got Ruby Kayser in studio here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. But right now, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
We got to get Ruby to record one of those little rejoins so I can feel cool.
Yeah.
That's what I tell everybody. Ruby Kayser joining us, player for Colorado State on the volleyball side of things, but also majoring in journalism and media communications. And that's one of the reasons, obviously I want to talk sports with you and volleyball with you, but I'm just so fascinated with what you're doing, being able to work at all these different jobs and then mix in what you're doing on the volleyball side of things, and then dabble into the NIL world too, because that stuff just fascinates me, and I don't know how you keep it all straight.
Yeah, I don't know how I keep it all straight either, to be honest. I'm like an old lady. I have my like written calendar, and if somebody texts me and is like, can you do this at this time? Like, I'm going to have to get back to you until I look at my calendar, because I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow or the next day or the next day.
Well, you got to balance. You got workouts, practices, and school, obviously. Yep. That's something to think about. Yeah. And then you're all these different jobs that you're doing because you're getting your name out there, which is so fascinating.
Yeah, it's been really cool. And kind of like once I started one thing, it kind of is just built into a million things, and I'm really bad at saying no, which has helped me keep doing all these things.
Well, I think that, again, like we talked about, that's the kind of stuff that's really going to grow well after your career, because you're using your experience and your celebrity as a volleyball player for CSU, and you're using it now, so then by the time you're done 5, 10, 20 years from now, you'll be able to really establish yourself.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's kind of been fun to kind of play off of both of it, where like some people know me from, oh, I saw you at the Eagles game filling in for Big Rob, or it's, oh, I've seen you. Do you play for CSU volleyball? You wear the headband, right? And it's just like kind of fun to kind of play off of both of them. And when you tell somebody you're on the CSU volleyball team, it goes a long way. And
sure.
So I've kind of used that to get into places and then build off of all of those little things. So
what do you think about, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air, and I've been pretty much a proponent of NIL deals. I think it's an opportunity. I remember going back in the day when Johnny Manziel signed an autograph, and he ended up getting suspended for first half of a football game because he sold an autograph. And I'm like, you should be able to do that stuff. You should be able to go out and use your name, image, and likeness to work, especially in a field that you're wanting to work in. Obviously, you're reading stories now, though, of it's being abused. You're seeing, I mean, we're seeing millions thrown around at some of these kids. So I do think there's a balance. And obviously, you want to, the thing to worry about too on the negative side is, are businesses now becoming recruiters? Are businesses hinting to a player like, hey, Ruby, if you transfer to this place, I happen to know that a car dealership is going to be willing to give somebody a car and $1 million.
Yeah, I think I've been in college at a really crazy time because
sure, you
I
have.
Came in at 2020 when it was the COVID year.
Yeah.
And then they passed the transfer portal rules and the NIL rules while I've been in college. So it's really like, and those two really play off of each other with transfer portal and NIL, because like you said, it's like transfer here and we'll give you this and that. And I think we haven't seen a lot of it at CSU or in the Mountain West just because of the level that we're at, but I think it will grow a lot. And I think right now, like, for women's sports, it's a little bit of a different story. And I do think it's great that, like, especially like some of these athletes that are making a lot of money off of social media and TikTok and those kind of things and getting these big brand sponsorships. I think that's great, because if you're blowing up on social media, why shouldn't you be able to make this much money while an influencer can make that much money or whatever it is? And so I think it's a really good thing, but I do predict soon it will start getting regulated a lot more, because with those Power Five schools, and especially with football and conference realignment and all those things are playing off of each other and working together. And I think they're going to have to kind of reel it in a little bit soon.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, even looking at the EA Sports deal, like, that's a fascinating story, too. You get the, what's the company, Angel? Brand, is it Brand? They're coming, they're going to sue.
Like the Brander group.
Brander. They're going to sue EA Sports because EA Sports was supposed to go through them to get all these athletes as far as signing off on their name. And then they went outside, and now they're offering $500, one-time hit or whatever. It's, that stuff is just really crazy. And that was where it all started, was the EA Sports side of things.
Yeah, and it kind of freaks me out because even like in my own little way, it's like I've gotten NIL deals outside of the collective or outside of, we use Brander and Open Doors and those kind of things. And so I've had agents contact me too, asking to represent me for NIL. And I'm like, well, you're an agent in Florida. I don't know if I want you representing me when I'm getting all these Fort Collins deals in the community. And like, it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, if I sign on to you, then even the deals that I get myself, I would have to give you this chunk of money for those deals. So it's one of those things where I'm like, don't know about that. Like, I'm doing okay on my own and people are reaching out to me. I don't know why, if I'm working my own deals and putting in the work to get them, why should I have to give you 10% of that? And so, but then it's also like, if you get an agent, then they can get you bigger companies and different things from more on like a national scale. And so it's a weird thing to navigate as an athlete too, because you can't, not only can coaches not help you get deals, they can't advise you on what to do. So if I went to Emily and said, hey, like, this person reached out to me, like, and she majored in finance in college, and you'd think like, she probably knows a lot about it. It's like, I could say, hey, what should I do here? She can't tell me. And then it's like, who do I ask? Mm. Like, who's helping me make sure that I'm putting taxes aside for it,
sure,
and I'm not getting millions of dollars taken away and those kind of things. It's a little bit discerning as an athlete if you don't have an advisor to be like, hey, that's maybe not a good idea or whatever it is.
Is that something you have like compliance and everything now, but is there someone on staff, or not the volleyball staff, but they're under athletics that is somewhat of an advisor?
We have to report every deal through compliance. And so we have this, it's called Compass. And so you go on when you get the deal, and there's like a time frame. You have to do it like 24 hours before your next volleyball event or whatever it is. And you have to report it and they have to approve it and say that like, okay, that's fine or whatever. But I couldn't go into like anyone who works for athletics and be like, hey, do you think I should take this NIL deal? Like, I'm not sure. Or, hey, do you think I should sign with this agent? I'm not sure. Because they will refer you to the College of Business, I believe, and there's somebody there who should be able to help, but I don't know if people are tapping into that or not.
It's interesting. Ruby, we got one more segment here in the first hour. You stick around for a little bit longer? You guys get going pretty soon. I don't know. We'll have Ruby Kayser sticking in the Aloe Fiber Studios with us this morning. We'll take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, this is a fun conversation. Ruby Kayser with CSU Volleyball joining us in studio in the Aloe Fiber Studios. And I just, awesome job by you. Congratulations on all your success too, because this is why one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on is, I at its core, this is what the NIL is supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think like taking it in the direction of more than just, like you said, like, oh, here's my name, like, give me a check. Like, you have to do more than that. It should be more than that.
Yeah, and again there's players we've worked with, they're all great people, but yeah, there's a lot of them that are like, hey, when do I get my paycheck? It's like, you haven't even signed a contract yet, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and those kind of things. You kind of strike me as the person that's like, I'm going to put the work in and I'll go get the money later.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what, that's going to be life when you get out there.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's fascinating. What's the outlook for the team next year? I mean, I always just expect, even with the new coach situation, I always just expect you guys are going to be right there in the mix again.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about it. We got some good players. We got a transfer setter from Arizona. We have some good freshmen who are getting in the gym, working hard. And we have my class, who's going into their fourth year. There's six of us. And so just like a lot of good leadership and experience going into that, having a more seasoned team. And we have some tough preseason matches coming up. We've got Kentucky kicking off August 25th. That's going to be our big whiteout game, so that's the one we're going to try and sell out, get 8,000-plus fans to. But they're going to predict it to be a top-10 team going into the season. And then the next game, we're going to be playing Stanford, and they're probably going to be the unanimous first team in the country going into the season.
Wow.
And so they're both coming to Moby, which I think is awesome, and that speaks a lot to what we do at Moby, but it'll be a tough, tough start, and I think it'll be really great to have our fans there and try and get some energy going into it. And if we're going to knock them off, it's going to be the first weekend of the year, so I'm like, get them in here.
Find out a lot about your team going up against teams like Stanford, right?
Yes.
You're going to learn a lot. You'd rather it that way, wouldn't you? Go up against some of the best rather than, you know, think that we're really good, and then you start getting into the conference play and all that. Might as well find out who you are pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. Baylor's coming here, which we played them at Baylor last year, and we lost to them, but I feel like we have like the roots now to really compete with them and maybe take them down this year. And so I'm excited to play them. Arkansas too, we played them last year. We're going to try and go for revenge against those two teams. And so I think we're feeling really confident about it and feeling good, but we have a hefty preseason. And so we're going to be going into Mountain West play ready to roll. So
I love it. And don't be a stranger. Let's do this again. Let's talk. I know we've got some big plans coming up. Ask your coach if she remembers Cheyenne Wells. Just
yes,
do that. Ask
I
your
will.
Coach for me. Ruby Kaser, fantastic work by you, and I know we'll be talking again very, very soon, but thank you so much for coming down here, sitting in with us, and checking out the studios.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was fun.
All right, we'll catch up soon, okay?
Yep.
11:57 the time. We've got the Lunch Rush coming up at noon. We got the NBA draft tonight. What will the Denver Nuggets do? All that and more coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.